T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome in here on this Friday morning. Happy to have you with us. No, my voice has not gotten better despite my best efforts. And so we're probably going to do similar to what we attempted here in the last couple hours yesterday. I believe Scott Parks is going to come in a little bit early here to hang out. I slept in front of a humidifier. I kicked it over at 2 o'clock in the morning and knocked it onto the floor. That was an exciting moment in the middle of the night.
Fun.
Which coincided with the street racing that was happening on the plaza. So there was a lot going on at the same time. Doing my best. Feel fine. Just sound like this.
Yeah. It's got to be frustrating because that's the worst part about it is that otherwise, no, everything's good. I'm fine.
Puppies and rainbows around here. Just sunshine and all things glorious. So we'll get through.
Yes, indeed. And we've got so much to go over today, including just a look back at the last 24 hours and what more we've learned about the devastation in South Florida and how much damage was done. I was having a little conversation with the boss earlier today. And like everybody else in this area, he knows somebody that's down along the Gulf Coast. In fact, has some relatives who are down in the Fort Myers area in Sanibel Island and said that, I mean, there are houses that, of course, you know, were just remodeled and just, you know, brand new flooring and everything else that are now roofs ripped off, unlivable. I mean, just completely, they're going to have to be knocked flat and rebuilt from scratch.
Death toll, I believe, is up to 21 officially in Florida. I am watching Tampa International Airport has officially reopened. That's good news. I was looking on Fly KCI here a little bit ago. We've got a few flights. They're mostly Southwest today being delayed, but nothing significant in terms of flight cancellations. What's happening now, and you heard from ABC News, is that it is making landfall for the fourth time. And Charleston Airport, I believe, is the next major airport to be closed. Just keep in mind that, again, that's going to ripple effect across the system today.
No doubt about it. And one of the odd things about that is that, as you said, I mean, this will be the fourth time because there are barrier islands. And the first landfall that took place in Florida took place just off of Fort Myers. It hit the barrier islands first, and then they count that as yet another landfall when it crosses that short stretch of water, the intercoastal waterway, and then hits land. And it's doing the same thing in the Carolinas. And I'll tell you, I mean, even right now, some of the live pictures that are coming out of Charleston, Savannah, it's not storm surge yet, but it's going to get there fairly soon. And just the wind and the rain, it looks exactly like what happened in Florida. Now, the sustained winds are not nearly as high. It's a Category 1 storm right now, but don't be fooled by that. I mean, a Category 1 storm can do some damage. And again, if you're talking about flooding being the major problem, then you don't need much wind to push a lot of water on shore, especially in an area that's pretty swampy to begin with.
So it's going to move inland then after this over the course of the weekend. If you have travel plans to go through North Carolina or Virginia, that's where it's going to end up, and then push through West Virginia. I've spent some time in South Carolina. North Carolina is very close to my heart. I've spent a ton of time in the Outer Banks, and that's what it's going to hit here over the weekend. And that's an area that already, if you ever go to the Outer Banks, it's already like a lot of those houses are up on stilts. I mean, they already have had problems with houses collapsing there because they've just been there for so long. So it could be a tough weekend.
Yeah, that erosion that you're talking about. Yeah, you remember it was just maybe a month or two ago that we were talking about not one but two houses near Avon Beach that fell into the surf that just were there 1 minute and gone the next and floating away.
The Sanibel Island Causeway is the other image that continues to fascinate me.
Yep.
I was talking to friends last night that have spent a lot of time in Sanibel, And just to think about what would happen if where you live was cut off from the rest of the world. I mean, you can't, there's no way out of there right now at a time where those houses have largely been destroyed.
And there's more to the story there as well, because we talked yesterday about the fact that since that bridge, the bridge part of that causeway had been knocked down, at least a portion of it. And that's all we knew yesterday, is that some of it was gone. What we now learned is that there were not one, not two, but I believe three breaches along that stretch of road that goes over the, again, over the intercoastal waterway. So it's going to take a tremendous amount of time. And whoever did stay there, and it's not many, but there are people there. Not only is it this out of power, of course, I mean, there's no electricity anywhere, but you've got houses in that area. We found out yesterday from some of the drone footage that were flying over the devastation, houses that are now on fire. So you're walking through what remains of your neighborhood. There's nobody there. There's no emergency crews that can get there. You walk down half a block and one of your neighbor's houses is on fire, and there is not a thing you can do about it.
Which is always amazing when there's so much water around.
Yeah.
To see anything on fire when you are surrounded by water like you are right now is such an odd thing to witness.
It is. So, again, for everybody that's in the Outer Banks, in that the southern portion of the Outer Banks, you just have to hope that they have seen what happened in Florida, will think better of this one. And my worry is that because it's gone down from a Category 4, a high Category 4, maybe a Category 5, when it hit down all the way to a Category 1, that they'll think, okay, well, it's just not that big a deal right now. It still is, and it still has the potential to cause some pretty major damage, and you just don't want to put your life at risk for that.
The other thing we're seeing in Florida is a shortage of gas. It was like 12% of gas stations last night were out of gas supplies, which is something, and I don't know how fast they can get all that filled, but keeping in mind, the game is on for Sunday in Tampa Bay,
yep.
And you're going to have a ton of people that are going to be in Tampa that are not there right now. So we'll see.
It happened to catch a little bit of this morning's briefing from Florida's governor. Ron DeSantis was, and he disputed some of that. When asked about that, he said, look, the problem is not that they're out of gas. The problem is that they're out of power. Now, you could look at that and say, okay, it really doesn't make any difference. If there's no gas coming out of the pump, it doesn't do me any good. But he said that it's not really a supply problem, that it's more of the fact that you've got 88% of the gas stations that are in that area that simply have no power. And if you don't have any power, there's nothing to pull the gasoline up out of the ground and put it in your gas tank. So it may be something that they can recover from a little bit more quickly, but it's a matter of getting the power back on. And that's not fast either. He said there are linemen coming in from all over the Southeast, people who do that for a living, who are going down to South Florida now to just pitch in. I mean, we saw the same thing after Andrew. Frankly, we saw the same thing after September 11th, how there were so many people that were headed to New York just to see what they could do and be that extra pair of hands. And that's what's going on right now in Florida.
Are your travel plans still on?
Yes. Have not heard a word still from the airline. And my flight checks in as on time. Now, two things about that. Our flight is late, and it's also a direct flight from here. It's a nonstop from here to Tampa. So it's not going to be affected by having problems. Let's say, for example, I mean, if you're flying American Airlines, chances are you fly through Charlotte. Well, that's going to be a problem later today. We're not doing that, though. So I don't know. We may have gotten very lucky. I consider myself lucky just to be looking at still on time. Jamie, that is correct.
I didn't want to say it on the air, but I'm looking at the list of possibilities it could be.
It still shows us on time. So that's good enough for me. And if we get pushed back a few hours, if we get pushed back to tomorrow, fine, no problem. We can wait. But not everybody's in that situation, and there are going to be, even if we get out of here on time, there still are going to be major problems with the airlines going anywhere in the Southeast over the next few days.
When do you come back?
A week from Saturday.
Okay, so by then, things should be worked out.
Oh, yeah,
by then,
definitely.
Everything should be. By then, you'll just be dealing with normal flight delays and normal troubles in the system. Aside from just this.
Why do you think we chose Saturday to come back and not Sunday?
Let me tell you.
Just in case.
you're listening to Joanne, because that's what Joanne keeps saying to us all the time is, sorry, there's a big truck outside my window, is that's what I do now, is if I need to be on the air on Monday, I fly back on Saturday because I assume something is going to happen with that Saturday flight.
And if it takes you an extra 24 hours, you still get in Sunday and you're still ready to go Monday morning. And that's that's kind of the plan. So we'll see. And it, we'll also have the opportunity to kind of look around a little bit. What they have said is they're advising everybody. They're advising tourists, and even there are media outlets who are there. They're asking everybody, if you don't already have somebody here, don't send anybody else. So our desire to drive down, and that's, I mean, it's a heck of a drive anyway. From Tampa to Fort Myers is probably a 3.5-4 hour drive. So it's not exactly the kind of way I want to spend my vacation, but I don't want to get in the way. So we're going to look around the area, around the Tampa Bay area, and a little bit south of there into like Sarasota, Bradenton, and kind of see what was done and get some idea of that. But aside from that, I mean, everybody's seen the pictures coming out of Fort Myers.
So we'll keep an eye on it today and bring you any updates that we get. Again, the latest death toll out of Florida, just Florida, is 21. So we'll see what we find out. We'll take a break here. And then coming up in a couple of minutes, I want to talk about a headline that I saw out of the Kansas City Star this morning that when I clicked on it was just completely annoying and I feel like was complete clickbait, and it worked. We'll talk about that coming up next here on KMBZ. 913-586-7798 is the phone number here with us on, we're still getting some of the technical stuff worked out. Oh, there we go. Yes, it's me. Somebody asked yesterday, they couldn't tell that it was in fact me. Yes, working my way through, just trying to get through here for a little while. So I was up and going, you know, early this morning, like I always am, looking at Twitter. And there was a headline that was on the Kansas City Star's Twitter account that got my attention. And I thought, wow, are they really saying that in an editorial? If their goal was to get me to look at their editorial page, it worked because I clicked on it. And I was pretty annoyed at what I found. And I didn't feel more justified about that until Mike Wickett, that used to do the show, I saw the same thing. He also was up and going at 5 a.m. and went off on the Star about what they did.
I'm curious because I know the thrust of the editorial, and you can tell that story in a second, but who is this guy? I mean, who wrote the editorial? Does anybody know what his bona fides are?
It's not an editorial.
Oh, it's just a letter?
That's the point. That's the problem. Is that... So I get it. Like, we tease things, you know, your goal is with a headline is to get someone to click on it. You tell me whether this was going too far and inappropriate. So again, on Twitter, what they wrote was, he's a great quarterback, sure, but he only cares about how he looks, not his team. And there's a picture of Mahomes there. And it's an opinion piece. And it links to KansasCity.com and what is something that is posted on the opinion page. So you click on it, and it is not obvious until you scroll down a bit that their headline is actually a letter to the editor that was written by a guy from Glen Carbon, Illinois.
So he's just some nobody.
And it's four sentences, and that's all it was. But it's what they chose to lead with on their, this is letters to the editor page. So this was the letter to the editor they chose to lead with. They didn't lie, but in putting this on Twitter and in making that the headline, you are led to think this is an opinion piece written by a member of the editorial board of the Star.
Right.
And it's not.
Yeah, you don't normally put the headline of a letter to the editor as your way to get people into your editorial page. But they knew. I mean, you're right. It worked. It worked with you. It worked with Mike. It worked with probably everybody here who saw that headline and went, has somebody at the Star lost their mind? And the answer is no. Nobody at the Star wrote that. Just a letter to the editor from somebody who doesn't even live here. What's the point?
So I'll go and read it to you because it doesn't, again, it's four sentences long. But so here's what they said. The headline on the letter was puts the I in team. John, if you have this in front of you, it's probably going to be less grating
for you
to read it than me.
I actually don't because I'm paywalled out of it. But
okay, I don't.
But by all means,
go incognito. So after watching the Kansas City Chiefs for the last 2 years, I think it is clear that Patrick Mahomes is not a team player. He doesn't care if his team wins or loses. All he cares about is how he looks. It's beginning to look very obvious. He's a good quarterback, but really doesn't care about his team as a whole. Signed, John Geimer out of Glen Carbon, Illinois.
Okay. All right. Look, first of all, yes, nobody out of Glen Carbon, Illinois. You know what's in Glen Carbon, Illinois? No, you don't. Neither does anybody else.
Because I don't even know where it is.
Glen Carbon, Illinois, it's not far away. I believe it's north of St. Louis, but it doesn't matter because it's kind of nowhere. And the thing is, okay, so this is a guy with an opinion who writes into the Kansas City Star, which is fine. Anybody can do that. Your editorial board has a responsibility to parse through those letters and try to find something. I mean, they don't print every letter to the editor. So they have to go through, and there's got to be some kind of vetting process. Who saw that and went, aha, let's go with this? Because even from a critical standpoint of just looking at the writing and the way that the case is presented, there's nothing to it. He says, Patrick Mahomes doesn't care about his team, period. Evidence to back that up? Just because I watch? Okay, no examples, no substance to that at all. Star, do better.
But it worked.
Yeah?
It totally worked. It worked for me. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. It was four sentences. It wasn't argued. It's like something we would get on our text line, quite frankly.
Yes, it
you
is.
Know, it could have just been anonymous. Somebody from Illinois, what do they care? And I say this being from Illinois. And it just annoyed me on the other side. And Wicket went off about it on Twitter, which I absolutely appreciated. And I'll read what he said because it kind of echoed it better than me. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
He said, you took an opinion of some guy in Illinois and used it as your KC Star opinion headline. Why would an Illinois resident, not Kansas or Missouri, who watches Mahomes play on TV be a headline? Too many people unfairly criticize your newspaper, but this is indefensible.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that letter, in my opinion, never should have showed up because, like I said, there's just nothing to it. It's just an insult. It's trolling. That is totally. The definition of trolling is no evidence, no case made, no nothing. Just he sucks. And then you run out the door. Okay. Yeah. Four sentences later. Well done. Now, look, if we wanted to have a debate, and I do not because I don't believe this is true, but if we wanted to have a debate about whether Patrick Mahomes is style over substance, whether the guy is a bit of a showboat, we could have that debate. I think that's bunk, but we can at least talk about it, you know, and bring up examples and talk about his relationship with Travis Kelce and how his teammates look at him as a leader on the field and what Andy Reid has said about him. And bring up examples from games where he's, you know, tried to pad his stats maybe a little bit. And have that conversation, but that's nothing. There's nothing there.
I'm so annoyed. I'm just so completely irritated about it because it worked like it was supposed to.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was a cheap shot.
Here's, I'm trying to remember what the example was from this morning, but there was another one of those that was linked on one of the news sites that I go to a lot. And it was one of those that said, if you want to know whatever, you know, it was one of those, like, if you want to know what this person looks like 50 years after their TV show was popular, click here. Yeah. And then you click on it and you find out it's a slideshow that doesn't even have that person in it. Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah. Except that I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Like, I know if I'm on BuzzFeed or if I'm on something even less legitimate than that, which admittedly sometimes comes up on Twitter, that to me is different than the big local newspaper, you know?
Let me ask you something kind of out of left field about this, because I think we absolutely 100% agree that this is ridiculous. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't checked the text line, you know, over the last couple of minutes, but I would assume that just about everybody else is too. Do you even read the letters to the editor ever?
What I do is, as just a part of my normal process, I just check the front page of the Star's website. And so I do scan headlines. I mean, I scan whatever headline they decide to put on their opinion pages. I rarely ever click on them, but sometimes they'll be about, you know, streetcar or the search for police chief and stuff like that. So sometimes I will, yeah.
I almost never do. And it's not that I avoid them. It's not that I have anything against the letters to the editor. I can't think of a time other than this one. And this is more about the paper than it is about the letter. I can't think of a time that I saw a letter to the editor and really got anything out of it and thought, wow, there's something that I hadn't thought of before. There's somebody who is a deep thinker and may have an opinion that's a little bit different from mine, or maybe it's the same opinion that I have, but they come at it from a different angle. That's never happened to me from a letter to the editor. So I just don't bother.
Do you look at them at other sources? Do you look at like the Washington Post opinion page or anywhere else?
I'll read opinion columns. Yeah, but as far as just the letters and the responses and things like that, no, not really. Because I look at those the same way as the little blurbs that they allow. Some papers do. A lot of them have already shut these things down. But where they allow comment on news articles. And usually that's the same garbage. It's the same trolling nonsense, and it's just people looking to pick a fight or get a rise out of somebody or whatever. So it's just, it's useless.
I am surprised that newspapers continue to print letters to the editor.
Yeah.
I am surprised that they printed this one, except it was really good trolling to get people to click on the rest of the letters.
Yes.
But how valuable is that as a part of your operation? The letters to the editor.
I am of the opinion that I would probably feel differently about a small town newspaper. Small town newspaper letters to the editor would probably be A, pretty entertaining, you know, B, very local, and C, might have something to them that gives you a little bit of insight into the community. But for a paper the size of the Kansas City Star or the Sacramento Bee or, you know, who knows where, a paper in a city that's got some size to it. Yeah, I don't think there's really much value in that to me.
Again, just like the commenting largely has been turned off, I think that's something that will start to go away.
Yeah, it'll start to fade out.
All right, 913-586-7798. We'll take a break here. Be back in the next half hour here on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
913-586-7798 is the phone number here to get in. Moving on to the story out of Fox 4.
Yeah, this one, boy, are we going to need your help on this one, because it's a fair rarity, even with some of the bizarre stuff that we talk about, that my jaw is dropped while I'm reading a news story, because it just seems so utterly wrong. This is one of those stories, and here's what's going on. From the folks at Fox 4, there is a mobile home park here in town in KCK that has become notorious for doing what is legal under the law in the state of Kansas to people who live in mobile home parks. The way it works is this. You can own a mobile home. You can own property underneath that mobile home, or you can do one or the other. So a lot of people who live in mobile home parks, they own the trailer that they live in. What they do not own is the ground underneath it. So they pay rent every month to the mobile home park to leave their mobile home parked there. Usually the way that happens is they get a one-year lease at the very beginning. And that's very much like the lease for an apartment or a condo or a duplex or anything else. There are conditions under which you can break it, but they're pretty limited on both sides, because otherwise, what's the point of signing a lease? But after that initial one-year lease is over, what most of the mobile home parks do is they switch you automatically to a month-to-month lease. Rather than having you re-sign for another year every year, they just switch you over to month-to-month, and as long as you keep paying your rent, you're okay. But the law in Kansas says if you live in a mobile home and you rent space on somebody's mobile home park if you lease that space to leave your mobile home parked there, after that initial one-year lease is over, they can kick you out with 60 days notice, period. They don't have to give a reason. You don't have to be late on your rent. They don't have to have a reason. If they want you out, they can force you out after 60 days and you have zero recourse.
I'm going to ask you a question you may not know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them, actually. Is that state law?
Yes.
That allows for that? Okay. And is that true? Is that true of anything else? Is that true? I have a lease on my place. Is that true of, although I live in Missouri, I guess it doesn't matter. If you live in Kansas and you rent, does that apply to anything else where they can just kick you out with 60 days notice?
As an apartment renter, usually not. I don't know the chapter and verse of the law, and this is a great place for you to jump in if you know. If you are a landlord and you rent an apartment or a condo or something like that in Kansas, what conditions do you have to meet to be able to evict somebody? Can you just tell them, I don't like the look of your face anymore, you got 60 days to move out? Or do you have to have some kind of backup? Do you have to have some kind of a reason why you want to evict them, or can you get them out? One of the things that I thought was particularly poignant about this situation is that because they can rescind your lease, unlike moving out of an apartment, let's say you're in that first group of people where you own your trailer,
mm-hmm.
and you rent space. Okay, they tell you 60 days from now, you have to be gone. All right, you own your trailer. It is not free to move those things. In fact, it's very expensive to move those things. It can be thousands of dollars. And where are you going to move it to? You've got 60 days to find another plot where you can put that mobile home, and you've got to move everything in it. You've got to move all of your stuff. You got 60 days to do that, and you just found out that in the next 60 days, you're going to have to come up with $8,000 to get the move done.
Wow.
People generally don't live in trailers because they weren't quite there with a mansion, okay?
Right.
And that's not an insult. Look, if you ask me to come up with $8,000 in the next 60 days, I'd have a lot of trouble doing that. So, and I think most people are in that space. So you're taking somebody, and essentially, not only are you kicking them off of your property, you're stealing their mobile home from them because you know they're not going to have the money to move it.
Well, and here's the other thing about mobile homes. And I say this because my parents, until a couple of years ago, owned a mobile home as retirement property in Lake Kissimmee, Florida.
Yep.
And it was the same thing. They owned their mobile home, but they had to rent the land on which it sat. And if that mobile home park, and it was a part of a park, but they usually are, if they ever decided, hey, we're going to sell the property here, my parents would have had to move the mobile home. And I just think it's not just the mobile home. You tend to build up around it.
Sure.
You know, you've added a porch on, you've built up, you know, all kinds of stuff around it, maybe a carport or garage or something like that. So it's not as simple as just picking up the structure and moving it. It's everything else around it.
And it almost never is. That's the thing that if you've never lived in a mobile home park or you've never seen one, especially the ones like where you're talking about in Kissimmee in Central Florida, if you have an image in your mind of every mobile home park you've seen in a movie or an episode of NCIS, that's not what they look like.
No.
A lot of them look, you know, rolling hills and golf courses and stuff like that. And you've got a double wide that is on the ground. It's not up on blocks. It's, you know, it doesn't have skirting around the outside of it. It's down on the ground on a concrete slab. It's not like you can just hitch up and move that thing.
Yeah, and that would have been, it was easier. What my mom ended up doing after my stepdad died was they just found a different, they just sold the mobile home itself to somebody else. It was easier to do that than anything else.
And that is one of the other options that's available, is that if you're forced into that situation, you can sell the mobile home, but you got to find a buyer.
Right.
You've got, again, you have 60 days to do it, which means most of the people who take that option are going to take a massive hit. trying to sell that mobile home, that they're just, again, they're not going to be able to afford to take that hit. And a lot of them still are paying on those mobile homes. And if you can't sell it for what you owe on it, well, what are you going to do?
If anyone has insight into why the law allows that for mobile homes, I would love to hear more about that.
Let's go to Ken in Olathe. He's got some insight into the whole rental market thing. Ken, welcome in.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, so I do not own rental property pertaining to trailer parks. However, we do have single family dwellings.
Great.
And, you know, there's hundreds of different lease agreements out there. The lease agreements that we use with our tenants, there is a paragraph that specifically states when the lease is over, if you want, you can choose to allow them to go month to month, or just the lease is over and they, you know, they're going to need to find another place to live ahead of time. So with most good lease agreements, that's spelled out at the time that they're signing that lease agreement.
Right. And so if you do, like if you have a lease, you've got a tenant in a house and they have a lease that is past that year, they've decided and you've agreed with them to go on a month-to-month basis like that. Is there anything that you have to do? Is there any bar that you have to clear to be able to evict them if you want them out?
Well, knock on wood. So I'm not an attorney. I'm a landlord.
Right.
I rely heavily on attorneys. So knock on wood, I've been blessed with good tenants and have not had to cross that bridge. But I do know that that is clearly spelled out in well, to protect the, you know, the owner and the leasee, that should be spelled out what that option is. So for our clients that, and we do every one of ours where the lease just ends at the 12 months. And then if they want to renew their month or, you know, yearly, and they've paid well and kept, you know, the property up, then we're gladly going to do that.
Sure.
However, if it is somebody that we had a few problems with, or maybe they just didn't quite keep the condition up like we wanted, then we legally have a way that we're just, you know, contractually parting ways at the end of that original lease.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, Ken, thank you. Thanks very much. Yeah, because what's going on here is they're making the case that a lot of these, with this one mobile home park that they picked out in KCK, saying they're notorious for it. I'm not going to name them. If you want to check it out, it's in the Fox 4 article. I just don't know anything about that place, so I'm not going to trash it. But what they're saying is that they do that on purpose so that they can snake people out, you know, after a year and 60 days, so that they can get somebody onto that lot who's going to spend more money.
Which is awful. I mean, but that's what we're dealing with in rentals and everywhere else too, is that if you can just make more money, you do.
Yeah. You want a landlord like Ken, who is going to look at this and say, I have a property that pays the rent every month on time. They've never been a problem. The neighbors don't complain about them. Great. Let's keep that going forever.
Right. 913-586-7798 if you want to get in here.
We have a caller who would prefer to remain anonymous, so we'll respect that. And welcome into the program.
Thank you. Great topic. You've just hit the tip of the iceberg of this industry.
Tell us.
I kind of work in it. So if you own a trailer park, and the average age right now is about 60 to 70 years old who people own these trailer parks, mm-hmm. Well, corporate America is doing like they're doing on housing. They're buying these trailer parks, okay? When they buy them, they can do exactly what you're talking about. They raise double the rent on the people in trailer parks. $1 billion in trailer parks to America through you. And that's what they do.
And so, again, you're not you as the tenant are not a problem. You've paid your rent every month. Nobody complains about you. Nobody calls your place an eyesore. It's not a dump. It's not falling apart. They just can make more money with somebody else.
Correct. New owners, new pricing. And that's what it's been working with. I've worked about 10 in the city and all the Belt, Missouri, all that area. It's like that right now. The kick is that the investor, he can get back by May to get the loan. But under the law, people have 1 year to form a co-op to buy it. They
okay.
have the option to buy it. Fannie Mae won't back them.
Right. And if they don't have cash on hand, they're shafted. And who has that kind of cash on hand?
Correct. So Fannie Mae's backing in these big investors. They're not backing the people who are living in the trailer park.
Wow. You said you kind of worked in this. I know you don't want to give much away, but can you tell us what kind of work you do in this? What is your job?
So I supply them products, and they put it on the lots and charge the people more rent.
Oh, okay. So they improve the lot, and all of a sudden you owe us more money.
The lot. And then what I sell them, by the time they jack up the rent, they pay it over 20 times.
Yep.
And if they get a new tenant in 6 months, another tenant's paying that thing off. So it's a circle. It's very aggressive right now in America. It's about as aggressive as buying these houses and using them as a rental income.
Yeah, and it's the same old story. Fleece poor people who don't have any money, squeeze everything you can out of them, and leave them on the street.
Correct.
Perfect.
I've seen it happen all the time.
Oh, man, thank you for the call.
all right.
Thank you. Thanks for getting in. And that's the situation that way too many of these people are finding themselves in. I've been there, not here, but I've been there with relatives down in Florida while they were being pitched by the trailer park to sell them the trailer and then lease them the lot underneath it. I've seen that pitch happen. It's very high pressure. There's a lot of, I won't call it out. Yeah, I will. It's lies. They lie to you to try to get you in. And they use every manipulative trick in the book. And I had to do everything in my power to wrench my ex-brother and sister-in-law out of that place before they were going to sign. Because they were going to sign. And they didn't have any money.
If you have insight, 913-586-7798. We'll take a break here. Wrap up the hour next on KMBZ. 913-586-7798 is the phone number to get in with us here on this Friday. So there was an announcement that was made last night by Trevor Noah, who was the host of The Daily Show. If you've not been following the evolution of that program, wasn't it Craig Kilborn that started it?
Craig Kilborn first, and then I think Jon Stewart right after him.
For a long time. And Jon Stewart was the one that most of us this age really got to know and like as the host of that show. And then eventually he just decided to move on and do other things. And Trevor Noah, who I didn't know at that time, took over as host of the show. Last night, he made this announcement that we're going to play.
And I found myself thinking throughout the time, you know, everything we've gone through, you know, the Trump presidency, the pandemic, just the journey of, you know, the more pandemic. And I realized that after the 7 years, my time is up. But in the most beautiful way, honestly. I've loved hosting this show. It's been one of my greatest challenges. It's been one of my greatest joys. I've loved trying to figure out how to make people laugh even when the stories are particularly shitty on the worst days. You know, we've laughed together, we've cried together. But after 7 years, I feel like it's time, you know? I spent 2 years in my apartment, not on the road, you know, stand-up was done. And when I got back out there again, I realized there's another part of my life that I want to carry on exploring, you know? I miss learning other languages. I miss going to other countries and putting on shows. I miss just being everywhere, doing everything. And I'm really grateful to every single person who's here, even the people who aren't here right now, because they went on to do great things, who helped us do this thing. You know, it's a weird thing to say. I've never been good at goodbyes. And it's not instant, I'm not disappearing, don't worry. If I owe you money, I'll still pay you. And I'm really grateful, you know, to a network who believed in this random comedian nobody knew on this side of the world. You know, South Africans knew and loved me. Yeah. You know. And Paramount has been amazing. Viacom, CBS has been amazing. Bob Backish, who believed in me. Chris McCarthy, Kies, you know, even the previous team, Ken.
So, yeah, he goes on to just thank everybody who kind of made it happen for him. But I thought it was particularly interesting and kind of poignant to hear him talk about that love for what just about every comic that we've ever spoken to is called the pure form of being out there and being in front of an audience and having it happen one-on-one.
So he's 38 years old. He's been doing the show since 2015. He is young enough that this would be an ideal time for him to go do some other things, although I don't know what he has aspirations for. I didn't really know him before this. I really appreciate that the show exists, but after Jon Stewart left, I don't regularly watch it anymore.
Yeah, we did for a time, for a good couple of years. I mean, the first 2 years, maybe a little bit more than that of Trevor, we were there every single night watching. And I don't know why in particular. I mean, maybe it was just news burnout, honestly, that just kind of made us fall away a little bit. But I always thought he was incredibly talented. And it's not surprising to me to hear him talk about, again, going back into the stand-up world and realizing that there was something there that he really missed, because I think what a lot of us who were not in New York City didn't really know about him unless you truly dug deep. And we had the opportunity, because we have a friend who's on that show, to get that kind of an insight during conversations and things about the way that they work. And he said, you don't get it. He said, Trevor will come in. He'll be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll do the pre-show prep. We'll do all of that. We'll have our meetings. We'll talk about the segments. We'll go through, maybe a couple of early setups on jokes and things like that. And then he'll go off and do a stand-up set somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Come back. Oh, yeah. Come back after lunch, finish the writing process, do the Daily Show, and then go out and do two more stand-up sets around New York every day. He never stopped working.
Okay, that's exhausting. Yeah. I'm exhausting just hearing you say that.
I know. And he said, and he's always the first one there at the office too, you know? So it was just, that's the dedication and the amount of work that he puts in. If you read his books, if you read Trevor Noah's books about growing up and about how he got to where he was, because he was also a rising star as an actor in South Africa as a kid, as like a teenager. And it was all about that's how he was raised by his grandmother, to just constantly go out and work, because you never know when you're going to be able to again.
It's amazing the careers that show has launched.
Yeah.
That Stephen Colbert went on to have a different show and now he's on Late Night. Yep. Samantha Bee got started on that show. I mean, the number of other comedians that started there. It's interesting, and if you want to text in about who should replace him, the first name that came in on the text line was Samantha Bee. A texter says, and this is interesting, putting their money on the idea of him taking over for James Corden, because James Corden has announced he's done at the end of this season, or next season, he's done a year from now. That would work out timing-wise, interestingly, for him to take over there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds, if we can take him at his word, and look, it's hard to say no to the Tonight Show. If they came calling, how do you say, or even the Late Late Show, anything like that, if they came calling at the network level and said, we want you to do this, how do you say no? But he may have just gotten to the point with TV where you realize how much time that takes out of your day and takes you away from what you really love doing, which is, writing, creating, crafting, and then bringing something to an audience, that he may be ready to do that for a little while before he makes any other moves. I think maybe the James Corden thing is interesting, because he never, I don't know what his numbers are like, but he also never seemed to quite connect.
Right.
You know, he's got a lot of really popular things. The carpool karaoke thing was pure genius. Yeah. But outside of that, how much do you really know about what James Corden has done on TV?
I don't. I like him. I think he's funny. Yeah. I think he's endearing. He did some stuff with Tom Cruise for the latest Top Gun movie. I mean, he's funny when he does all those bits. I don't know how he is as an interviewer, but I like him when he's doing some of those more pre-taped, structured pieces. Yeah, we'll see what he ends up deciding to do. I also would imagine that The Daily Show is a grind to put together 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You know?
And it does. You're writing for today, and then it's gone.
Right. Right. And having to structure around the news, as we well know, can be interesting. So, all right. We will take a break here for news. We have a special guest coming up in the next hour here on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.